Okay, Pachar Yitzchak, Inyan Chaf Ches, Rikudim de Purim, dancing on Purim. Question is Purim like more of a dancing holiday than anything else? I don't know, do you dance on Hanukkah?
Why not?
Shtickle.
What else? Sukkot, Zman Simchaseinu, Simchas Beis Shoeva, Simchas Torah. So the question is, what's unique about the dancing of Purim? Because Amir Tzashem, we're going to dance a lot. I was so sore last year after Purim from dancing like crazy. And that's my goal again for this year. I want to be so deeply into the dancing that you feel it for weeks. That's how Purim leaves its mark on you. Okay, so Rikudim de Purim. Says Rav Hutner, Vayishlach Yisrael es Yamino, Vayoshes al Rosh Ephraim v'hu atzir, V'esmolo al Rosh Menasha, Sikel es Yadav. Recognize the pasuk? Yosef brings his children, Ephraim and Menasheh, to his father Yaakov. And Yaakov, Yisrael, places his right hand on the head of Ephraim, who's the younger son, places his left hand on the head of Menasheh, who's the older son. And the pasuk says, Sikel es Yadav. What does Sikel mean? Sikel? Like Seichel. Right? With great wisdom. The Targum says that with great Chachmah, Yaakov crossed his hands. Now, Rav Hutner was a very deep and creative thinker. And Rav Hutner asked a question that once he asks it, it kind of jumps out at you. So we have this machlokas between Yaakov and Yosef. By the way, just so you know, in general, this machlokas between Yaakov and Yosef is a very fundamental machlokas to how to be a Jew. I mean, Yosef tries to undo his father's hands. What does Yosef say? The right hand goes on the older son. The left hand goes on the younger son. And Yaakov says back to Yosef, Bini, my son Yosef, I know what I'm doing. Sikel es Yadav, with great wisdom, I'm not confused at all. It's not an accident. So let me just tell you, B'derech Chlal, what the Machlokos was about. Machlokos was about a Pasuk, Sur Meira Ba'aseh Tov. Heard the Pasuk? Sur Meira, right? Remove yourself from negativity, Ba'aseh Tov. However, how do you read that Pasuk? Two ways to read the pasuk and a world of difference in how you live your life. Sur Meira va'aseh tov. Next year, as was mentioned at the Rebbe meeting, we're learning the Seches Gittin. Okay? What comes first in Shas? Gittin or Kedushin?
Gittin.
It's a little weird, no? You should probably have Kedushin first. Right? You should probably have Kedushin and then Gittin. Kedushin is how you get married. Gittin is, God forbid, if it doesn't work out, how you get divorced. Why is Gittin before Kedushin? So some tzaddikim connected to this Indian of Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov. Right? Kedushin means, well, like we learned, it means exclusivity, it means deep connection. Gittin means separation. So the question is, Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov. Is that an order of how to approach Avodas Hashem? Sur Meira, first stop doing bad things. And then, once you stop doing bad things, then Va'aseh Tov. Then you're allowed to do good things. Okay? What's the problem with that approach? What's the challenge of practical problem with that approach?
What if you can't stop doing
bad things? I don't know how to stop doing bad things. I'm not committed to it. I mean, I'm not. I don't know how. I don't know how to eradicate all the negativity of my life. So you're telling me what? My whole life, I'm not allowed to do good things because what? Because I'm still connected to bad things. So therefore, the tzaddikim said there's another derech, which is what? Sur Meira. Get away from bad behavior, al yedei aseh tov. By doing a lot of good things, right, that'll be the greatest way to get rid of the bad things. How do I get the darkness out of a room? So I can take a baseball bat and try to drive the darkness out of the room. Or I could just increase the light. If I increase the light, the darkness dissipates on its own, immediately leaves. So this was the machlokas between the Sfar HaKadoshim, Sifrei Chasidus, specifically the Polish tzaddikim, Chedusherim, and Divrei Yecheskel, many other tzaddikim, they say that the machlokas between Yaakov and Yosef was a question about what comes first. What does Menasheh mean? What does Ephraim mean? Why was Menasheh called Menasheh? Anyone remember? Ki nashani Elokim. Hashem has caused me to forget. Right? Like we say in a Hadron. Yeah, we say in the Hadron, when we finish learning a Masechta, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me to not forget the Masechta. I don't want to forget the Masechta. I don't want the Masechta to forget me. No, what do we say? What are the words? Lo nis nishem inach, Masechus, whatever. Lo nis nishem inan, right? So what does nash mean? Nash means forgetfulness. Okay? Lanis nishem inach meseches makos, v'lasis nishem inan. Right? So minash means to forget. To be removed from. What does Ephraim mean? What does the name sound like? Ephraim. Right? Okay, there's the Afer element of it, but there's also like the fruitful multiplication element of it, right? Ki Ephrani Elokim, Hashem has allowed me to sprout, to be productive. So Menashe is the things that we're trying to get away from, trying to forget, right? Things we're trying to remove ourselves from. Ephraim is the positive aspects that we're moving towards. So you have to understand, Yosef's a very big tzaddik. Yosef is called Nazir Echav. He's like a Nazir. He's on a very high level. That's what a lot of the machlokes between Yosef and the brothers is about. They can't relate to his lofty level. So what does Yosef say? First Menashe gets the right hand, and then Ephraim gets the left hand. But you have to understand, Yaakov Avinu, the Zayde, with the deep perspective, right? Yaakov is Sichel Es Yadav, he crosses his hands. And with great wisdom, he realizes that what? You got to put Ephraim before Menashe. You got to put Ephraim before Menashe, meaning what? Yaakov says, "If Yosef, maybe you were able, right, to get away from negativity and then choose positivity. But for a lot of people, we're living in a world that's etadas tovera. So if you're telling me I'm not allowed to what? To choose mitzvos until I get rid of all my averas, it's impossible. So Yaakov is machadesh that Ephraim comes before Menashe. It's a very important, and I think... On a certain level, we pasken that way, right? We don't have to wait. We don't have to... Sometimes we deny ourselves the ability from doing good things because we also do bad things. I don't feel worthy of davening or learning or this or that because I know I also do this or that or the other thing. I was talking to a guy just the other day who's struggling, mamish, so sad to hear, he's struggling with keeping Shabbos. And he still tells me, but he still tries to always, you know, to be mechal Shabbos less. So he says that means that, like, if he's going to watch TV, he'll leave his computer on or leave his TV on, like, in advance, you know? It's one less bit of Chil Shabbos. Or he'll even make Kiddush Friday night before he is Mechal Shabbos. Or he'll be makbid to have, like, Lecha Mishnah, he told me. Isn't that interesting? On the one hand, the Yitzhahara probably laughs at him and says, well, you're a big joke. You're Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos. Is that serious, that is? In Beis HaMikdash, you could be killed for that. Hashem is amazing, I don't want to say bad on this person, but it's such a serious thing. Such a serious thing. And yet he still feels that doesn't deny me the possibility of doing what I can do. Okay? So that was the wisdom of Yaakov. That's what the Svarim HaKadosh explained. But Rav Hunder asked the following question. Rav Hunder says, if he really wants to put Ephraim in the place of Menashe, so what could he have done? Instead of crossing his hands, he could have what?
Switched that.
He could have moved around. He could have said, I want Ephraim on my right, and I want Menashe on my left. And he didn't do that. He crossed his hands, which means that on the level of feet, it's a very deep idea, Ephraim and Menashe were still in their regular places. The hands, Yaakov was able to, with great wisdom, was able to work out the hands, but the feet, he wasn't able to move them completely. Let's see. Let's read them inside. Third line. Hadgasha because of Zahi. The emphasis of this pasuk is ki dafka es yadav sikel velo es raglav. It's like such a geschmack, like, you know, insight, just right off the bat. The Rebbe noticed that the pasuk is emphasizing his hands, where he made wisdom. He crossed his hands, but not his feet. Ki halo yachol haYaakov lahamid es Ephraim leimino legamri. He could have put Ephraim on the right hand side completely if he wanted to. Ves Menashe lesmolo legamri. He could have put Menashe on the left side completely. He could have said, Yosef, switch the kids around. So from the fact that he didn't do that, the Torah is teaching us something. It's amazing. We have to remind them, this is Hashem's Torah. Even though these are real historical events that took place, right? But every bit of it is with an unbelievable lesson that it's trying to convey. So you have to ask this question. Why did he switch his hands? Why didn't he move them completely? With regard to the feet, it stayed the way that it was. Habachur miyamin v'atzeir mismol. The older one, Menashe, to the right, and the younger one, Ephraim, to the left. So Rav Hutner, if I understand, Rav Hutner was a very Purim Dikir. Purim, Rav Hutner was like, Adelayada plus, beyond. So said very high Torahs. So he writes here, look at these words, very beautiful poetic words, beautiful poetic Hebrew. Umisoreres bekan hargosha make galim balev. He says this awakens a feeling that what? That is make, that is make galim. It makes waves in the heart. If you think about this question in the deep way, Chevra, and we're doing that right now, it'll make waves in your heart. It'll give you a totally, you will not dance the same this poem. Ki alo ikir chashivuso shel Ephraim lagavi Menashe. What was identifiably great about Ephraim? What did Yaakov, with his great prophetic wisdom, see to place Ephraim before Menashe? Hu bizeh shi yatzu mimenu Yoshua. Who comes from Ephraim? Yoshua ben Nun. Yoshua ben Nun. Shaya rishon li lachim ba'amalek. He's the first one to fight this categorical evil called Amalek, right? Bachar lanu anashim, choose men, Moshe says, and go fight Amalek. He says to Yoshua, Yoshua is going to lead the battle against Amalek. There's a lot to say about that. But Yoshua is the one to fight against Amalek. Part of it has to do with the fact, let's say one tiny little piece, right? Part of, and it's so, well, this is why it's so important, by the way, for Rebbeim and Talmidim to dance together on Purim. You see, it's really the culmination. It's not just dancing. It's very important to dance with our Rebbeim. So it'll be a big opportunity. And you should go over tonight, by the way. You should just like any like rabbi, even if you never met him, like just grab Rav Shechter and like start dancing with him. You know, go for it. No, it's very important. I'll tell you why. Because the battle against Amalek, the Pasuk says, Milchama LaHashem ba'Amalek, midor dor. Right? That Amalek tries to what? Amalek tries to cause a breakdown in the battleground of Amalek. Hashem's battleground against Amalek is midor dor, from generation to generation. However, one of the scariest things is that there's a Yeridas Hadoros. Right? We're not as great as earlier generations. Not even close. It's a Tzaddikim say on a pneumiastic level, actually, we're getting higher than the earlier generations. On the level of Yechidah Shebin Nefesh, we're getting even higher. But on the outside, we don't know Torah like they do. We can't. Our world is, we've seen things that, you know, that nice Jewish people didn't see in their entire life. We've seen in 3 minutes of going online. So it's you know, it's a hard world. It's a hard world. So the Melchama against the Malik, the Pasuk says at the end of Bishalach is what? Is Malik, the battle is Midor Dor, from generation to generation. In other words, a Malik wants us to really, what? To feel despondent from the Yiridas Hadoros. Because Amalek basically says, like, okay, it's only a matter of time until the Jewish people fizzle out, right? Your great-grandparents were better than you. They were better Jews than you. And your grandparents were better, and then better and better and better, right? So you're just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. You're farther and farther and farther away from our Sinai. It's more and more years of living in Gullus with Hester Panim. And eventually, right, if not you, so then your children, if not your children, your grandchildren, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren won't be Jewish. They'll end up marrying non-Jews. Eventually it'll... That's what Amalek is betting on. So it's very important in the fight against the Malik, to mechazik, the relationship, what? Midor dor, from one generation to the next generation. That's true in a parent-child relationship. Again, we touched on it a little bit, but not for right now. But let's talk about it from a Rebbe-Talmud relationship, which is also a form of parent-child relationship. Right? Who was the greatest Talmud ever? Yoshua ben Nun. Lo yamash mitoch ha'ol. He was by Moshe Rabbeinu's side, mamish, the greatest student. The greatest student ever. So who is going to be the one to fight against the Amalek? It has to be Yoshua. Because Yoshua shows that there can be such a deep connection between the generations. Understand? There's the generation of Moshe and the generation of Yoshua. Yoshua has to fight against the Amalek because you need to show that the Rebbeim and the Talmidim are strongly linked in such a way that what? That Amalek can't get into that, you know, that little crack between the generations and try to exploit us in that place. Okay? So what we're learning now is Yoshua, who comes from Ephraim, and again, we'll connect it to dancing. And again, that's why it's so important for Rebbeim and Talmidim to dance together on Purim. Again, it doesn't have to be your Rebbe. It could be anyone from an earlier generation. Anyone who represents Torah from an earlier generation. When you grab hands and move feet together with that person, what you're saying is that the link between the generations, the bond is strong. Okay, so let's take a look. So Yeshua is the first one to fight Amalek. V'kasiv sham haramban. Ramban says, always, Ramban made famous what? Maimer Chazal. Everyone thinks the Ramban created this idea. He didn't create it. The Ramban got it from the Medrash. But he made it famous because he talks about it a lot. Ma'asa Avos, Simon Labanum. What's the concept of Maisa Avos Simon Labanum? What's the idea? Who knows? What's Maisa Avos Simon Labanum?
You'll see what it. Whatever a parent does will manifest itself within
the child. Not just the parent and the child, but what happens in the earlier generations is foreshadowing what's going to happen in later generations. So I'll give you one example. The Ramban says that when Sarah is taken captive by Paro, so the Ramban says, oh, everything that happened with Avram and Sarah when they went down to Mitzrayim because of the famine at the beginning of Lech Lecha, right, at the beginning of that Lech Lecha journey, is foreshadowing the Jews being slaves of Mitzrayim and how Mitzrayim are going to take advantage of our women. And how it also kind of was generated, it came about through famine. And he points to five or six different points, right? The things that happened to Avram and Sarah were foreshadowing what's going to happen to the Bana, meaning Klal Yisrael, right? What happened to the individual Avos is going to happen on a national level to the Jewish people. Okay? So the Ramban over here says, Yehoshua's fight against Amalek is a microcosm of sort of the ultimate fight against evil, on the way to Geula. The Ramban writes there, Sha'asu Yoshua imahem berishona, hu shiyasi ita Mashiach ben Yosef ba'achrona. Interesting. What Yoshua did to Amalek at the beginning is what Mashiach ben Yosef is going to do to, is what Mashiach ben Yosef is going to do to evil, to Amalek in the end. We know there's a Mashiach ben Yosef and there's a Mashiach ben David. You've heard this idea before? There's a Mashiach ben Yosef and there's a Mashiach ben David. Okay, Ephraim, of course, is the world of Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef comes from Ephraim. It comes from this line, Yoshua. So Yoshua's fight against the people of Amalek represents Mashiach ben Yosef's final battle to eradicate evil from the world before the Geula Shlem. Okay? Which again has a lot of connections to the ongoing fight. By the way, I'll just point out, it's very interesting. Every month has a corresponding Shevet. What is the Shevet that corresponds to the month of Adar?
Dan.
So there's different ways to do it. Right? Some say it's Dan, especially if it's an Adar Sheni. Some say that it's Naphtali, because the way that they traveled in the Midbar, Yehuda led the way. The last group, right, was Degel Machane Dan, which is why Dan is sort of the Acharon, the back of the camp. Right? But who was Dan's flag? It was Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. So Teves, Shvat, Adar corresponds to Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Naphtali, by the way, the Medrash says was very good in Kibbut Ava'im, which is very significant here because, again, who does Amalek come from? They come from Esav. What was Esav known for? Esav was known for his Kibbut Av, right? It's really, this perversion of Kibbut Av. So again, this need to create a link between parents and children, between Rebbeim and Talmizim, right? Esav and Amalek sort of represent that negativity of that. So some say Esav Tali. But the Kedushas Levi, the Holy Berditchover, says that the month of Adar corresponds to Yosef, and he says a very interesting explanation. First of all, what is the bracha that was given to Ephraim and Manasseh? Right? How do we? But yidgul arov, right? Like fish, like dogim. Yosef is compared to a fish. The mazel, the astrological sign, the horoscope for the month of Adar is fish. But more than that, says the Berditchover, says the Kedushas Levi, what's the only Sheva to split into two? Yosef becomes Ephraim and Manasseh. What's the only month to split into two?
Adar.
That's very good. It's very solid. Okay. So Ephraim and Manasseh represent the two others. Okay? Which one is which is an interesting thing to explore. But what we're seeing here is that to fight against Amalek, you need what? You need Ephraim. You need the world of Ephraim. You need the world of Yehoshua. You need Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay? Let's keep going. V'chol zeh kalol hu b'tshuvas Yaakov liYosef. So this is part of what Yaakov says back to Yosef, when Yosef says, Dad, you're making a mistake, you put your hands the wrong way. And Yaakov says back to Yosef, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Shedavka zaro shel Ephraim, yiyeh mulo hagoyim. He says that this one, the younger one, will be what? Will be mulo hagoyim. Will be, now there's different ways to interpret what mulo hagoyim means. But I think the way he's using it here is that he's saying that Yaakov is saying back to Yosef, I need Ephraim to what? To take on, to be a great nation, and to be able to battle the nations, right? In order to bring Mashiach. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be the warrior who paves the way. Mashiach ben David wins the war without firing a bullet. But first there's going to be a big battle. Gog Magog, whatever you want to call it, however you want to understand it, right? It's Ephraim, it's Yoshua, it's Yosef, it's that world that has to what? That has to somehow fight back. So Yaakov says back to Yosef, trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm picking Ephraim, I'm picking Yoshua, I'm picking Mashiach ben Yosef. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. We need to strengthen this union. Now, v'hinei begufo shel Yaakov. And it's interesting, because we know Yadayim yidei Esav, right? Esav has also very strong Yadayim. So Yaakov says, I'm switching my hands, I'm signing Ephraim as my general, Yoshua's going to come from him, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come, we're going to defeat and eradicate Amalek once and for all. But however, we have to think of another scene that involves Yaakov's legs, not his hands, but his legs. Think about the fight between Yaakov, right? Between Yaakov and Esav in the form of Saro shel Esav, Parshas Vayishlach. Okay? Yaakov gets into a big fight with a malach. Pretty wild. And what happens? His body, he doesn't strike him in the torso. Right? Where does he hit him? Rakas kaf yorecho hezis mimakoma. Where does he hit him? He hits him in the kaf yarech.
Yeah.
Right? He strikes him in the thigh. So first of all, the thigh also represents a trying to attack his descendants, his children. Right? Because the thigh, like when Avram says to Eliezer, Simna yodcha tachas yarechi, right? Rashi says he asked him to put his hand by the makom hamila, because mila is a mitzvah. Right? So Yerech is associated with Mila, associated with Bris Mila, associated with the ability to have children, to have future generations. So Amalek comes from Esav. Saro shel Esav, this angelic force of Esav, represents sort of the negativity of Esav. I'll point out just one interesting thing, which is Bederech Remez. Right? The Pasuk says what? The Pasuk says that Yaakov is left alone. There's a lot. This usually we think of this fight as having a lot to do with Chanukah, because it does, but it also has to do with Purim. It's very interesting. So look, Vayar kilo yachalo. He saw he wasn't able to get him. Vayiga bekaf yirecho, and he struck him bekaf yirecho. Yeah, he hit him bekaf yirecho. So the Svarim point out an interesting idea. Take a kaf yarech Yaakov, and he injured him in the thigh. But the words where he injures him, it says, Vayiga bekaf yirecho. He struck him bekaf yirecho. What's the gematria of the word Vayiga? Vav Yud Gimel Ayin.
Eighty-nine
is gematria Chanukah. And what's the gematria of kaf yirecho?
89.
Kaf is 100, 20 and 80, kaf is 100. And Yerecho is 236. 236 plus 100 is 336, is Gematria Purim. So Vayiga, the kaf Yerecho, means that he was trying to stop. You have to understand, Chanukah and Purim are the biggest gifts Hashem gave us to get us through Galus. The only way we're going to make it through Galus is Hashem says, at the end of days, I need to give the Jewish people two holidays that are so awesome that it'll carry them through 2,000 years of Galus. That's what Chanukah and Purim are. And Saro shel Esav is fighting Yaakov. He's trying, right? He went back for what? For pachim katanim, for small vessels, small receptacles. Because to the outside world, Chanukah and Purim look like silly little holidays. Right? Purim is a big costume party. And Chanukah, you light this tiny little candle in the window. And they're not like Yom Kippur. It's not like Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't have the tone and the tenor of a Pesach Seder, right? These little pachim katana, these little nothing things. But we have to understand, these little receptacles of Kedusha are mamish, the biggest. You know, nuclear reactors. They're mamish, the biggest. Okay? So we go back to that scene where what? Where Yaakov got hit in the foot. He got injured in the leg. V'nimtza, so take a look, Heva. V'nimtza, four lines to the bottom. D'beraglav shel Yaakov, hu makom sheniker bo koach shel Amalek. That was the place where Amalek, so to speak, Esav, Saro shel Esav, that was the place that Amalek is able to what? to attack us. So to the same degree that while when Yaakov crossed his hands, Ephraim was given all this power, and Yeshua would fight a Amalek, and Mashiach ben Yosef would have the upper hand, so to speak. But the feet are struggling. The feet still need a tikkun. The raglayim still need more of a tikkun. Barak biyadov shel Yaakov, shehem anafim yotzim igufa. The arms of Yaakov, the hands of Yaakov, which are like the branches that come from the trunk, right? Somehow the hands of Yaakov were able to be solidified. Yeah? The hands were strong. Yadov, turn the page, shel Yaakov. So the hands of Yaakov, omihu Ephraim yamin. So on the level of hands, what did Yaakov do? Yaakov says, the right hand, the strong hand, right? I can place my right hand on Ephraim's head. But the feet, it's going to take a little more work. Again, why couldn't they just switch them around completely? Because Yaakov understood his feet are susceptible to being attacked. They were attacked, right? I mean, the fight against Sarah Shal Esav took place beforehand. Right? But Yaakov understood, my feet are not sichel es yadav, yadav dafka. The hands somehow Yaakov was able to establish, but the feet he was nervous about. He wasn't sure if he could move the feet of Ephraim and Manasseh to switch them around yet. He wasn't sure. Elisha kol zehu rak adva yavo Yaakov shalim. However, what happens in the next scene in the Torah in Parshas Vayishlach, after Yaakov walks away limping, Vayavo Yaakov shalim, Yaakov becomes whole again, and Chazal say, he was shalim begufo, shenir po mitzlaso. He was shalim in his body that he became healed from his limping. But the very fact that Yaakov ever got injured in the legs, right? Again, maisa avos simul labanim, that means we have to be mechazik our legs. We need to strengthen our legs. However, where in the body is Pesach? This is Pesach. Your right arm is Pesach. Where in the body is Shavuos? Your left arm is Shavuos. Where in the body is Sukkos? Your torso is Sukkos. Chanukah and Purim correspond to what? To the two legs. Netzach and Hod. In the Sfiros. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod. Right? Chanukah is Hod. L'hodos u'lahalo. Purim is Netzach. Chuasam Hayisa. Lanetzach. So Chanukah and Purim are about the legs. The legs means the ability to have kiyum, to stand. You understand? The ability to stand up strong. That's why Mordechai had very strong legs. He wouldn't bow down. Bowing down means my legs are falling out beneath me. Mordechai said, I don't bow. I'm not going to bow down. The same thing is true on Chanukah. There's a lot of bowing, holy bowing that we do on Chanukah. Right? Learning how to use the legs, when to bend the legs, when not to bend the legs. That's the whole story. That's the whole thing. So, Chaver, so look. So, Yaakov, eventually his legs were healed, but the legs need chizuk. When Yaakov's legs are healed, again, foreshadowing that eventually our legs will stand, then he doesn't need to be smart with his hands anymore. Then the wisdom of Yaakov, then the strength of Yaakov, will what? Will permeate the entire body of Yaakov. It'll drip down to the raglayim. It'll fill his entire being. Okay? That's what the Rav understood. Ve'echad min ha'chabura hosif al zeh. One of the chevra. It's nice, you know? It's putting their quote at one of the guys. One of the chevra added the following idea. He said, Rebbe, I think we could find support for this in a pasuk in Hosea. It's pretty good. Pull out a pasuk in Parakut Aleph of Hosea. Right, we have a pasuk that points directly, Morah be'etzva, points with a finger to this idea. What does it say in Hosea Perek Yud Aleph? Have a look. Va'anochi sirgalti le'Ephraim, kocham al zro osav. Let me tell you the pasuk pshat first. Va'anochi, Hashem is complaining that we haven't been faithful to Him, despite the fact that what? Anochi, I have tirgalti, or sirgalti actually, Sirgalti l'Ephraim, I have pampered Ephraim. I have, right? Ragil means accustomed. What are you accustomed to? What are you used to? I've made it very comfortable for Ephraim. Right? Anochi sirgalti l'Ephraim, I have pampered Ephraim. Kocham azro osav, I've taken him in my arms. Right? Like a little child is always in, you know, who's always in mommy and daddy's arms. It feels very safe and snug. So basically, the Navi is saying, I took good care of you, right? I took good care of you, Klal Yisrael, and you still don't respect me the way that you should. But one of the Talmidim pointed out, look at the pasuk, Vanochi sirgalti le'Ephraim, right? Kochav al zro osav, you see? Sirgalti is a lashon of raglayim. Zro osav, of course, is the zro osav, the arms. Klomar, al yedei kach shemitchi lehamati as Ephraim b'makom ha'nachon, bizro os yachol ha'Ephraim achar kach la'amod b'matzavo ha'nachon gam itzol raglav. That which I began to achieve, kochem al zro osav, that which I took in my hands, right? Hopefully, eventually, you'll be able to finish it also on the level of feet. Yaakov says, I wasn't able to move the feet of Ephraim. It's going to be an ongoing process of strengthening the feet of Yaakov. Again, we are the feet of Yaakov. Think about it. What do we call this generation? What do we call this period?
Right before Mashiach comes.
The Ikvus of the Mashiach. Ikvus of the Mashiach is Gematria Mordechai plus Esther. That's what I'm saying. Right? Mordechai and Esther, it's the last generation. It's the last holidays. It's the end of days. And we're just trying to stand up. We're trying to stand up tall. We're trying to have kiyum. Trying to keep our feet in their place. Sirgalti milashon regel al yedei hazros, right? To gain feet from hands. The hands we have. But the feet need more chizuk. So look what he says. So says the Rebbe. Says the Yitzchak Kutner. Vizo hi hati'ima hamiuchedes shanu tomim berikudim de purim. However, what are we saying to a malik when we dance strong on Purim? And we keep dancing, and our legs start to hurt, but we with besimcha, we dance some more. And Rebbeim and Talmidim dance together. What are we saying to a malik? You know what we're saying to a malik? We're saying to a malik, we can still, look how strong our legs are. All right? You once injured our great Zayda, you once injured Yaakov Avinu in the Makom Yarech, Dafka, the Makom close to the Bris Mila, as if there's not going to be a future generation. If there is going to be a future generation, they're going to be like Haman had everyone collapse on the floor. We're going to be able to. What, the legs are strong. You know what I realized just today? Not today. Just this week. I realized such a punchy thing. Someone must say it. When Yaakov first meets up with Esau, what does he do? He bows down to him seven times, right? He bows down to him seven times, and the Zohar goes crazy. The Zohar says, "How could it be? How does he bow down to Esau? How does Yaakov even bow down to Esau?" So he says he's bowing to the Shekhinah. He wasn't really bowing to Esau. Can't be that Yaakov was bowing down. I thought it was such a simple thought this week. The tzaddikim say, Rabbi Nachman says it, other tzaddikim say it, I believe Rabbi Nachman says it, Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam, right, we mentioned this once, right, the pasuk says, a tzaddik falls down seven times and gets back up. So Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam is sofei tevos amalek. Right? Sheva ends with an ayin, yipol ends with a lamed, Sheva yipol tzaddik is a kuf, ends with a kuf, the kum ends with a mem, the last letter spell out amalek. Because Amalek tries to knock us down and keep us down. That's what Haman wanted us to do. Bow down and never get up again. But I realize, you know what Yaakov Avinu is doing when he bows down seven times in front of Esav? Everyone's worried about how can he bow down. You know what Yaakov is doing? Yaakov is literally demonstrating Sheva Yipol Tzadiv Akam. He bowed down seven times to show that after the seven bows, oh look, I'm standing up. He was proving that I can still be up after I got knocked down seven times. Right? That's what he was showing. He was demonstrating, you're going to knock me down many times. But I'm going to get back. I'm going to get back up. So when a Jew dances on Purim, right? And maybe even his, you know, Purim day, he's even a little ad lo yada. Sometimes he falls down when he's dancing, right? It's hard to, sometimes if a person had a little too much to drink, he falls down when he's dancing, right? But immediately, if a Jew falls down on Purim, he's laughing, right? And the chaver picks him back up, and they dance some more. That whole Inyan is the ultimate victory over Malik, that the feet of Yaakov are strong. He says, this is the te'ima miyuchedes. This is the sweet flavor that we get when we dance on Purim specifically. Harikudim de Purim, last two lines. Him besod psikas hatzalia ala yerach shel Yaakov Avinu. The dancing of Purim shows that Yaakov Avinu is no longer tzalia. He's no longer tzolea al yerach. He's no longer limping on his leg. Right? The dancing of Purim is the revelation of the secret that Yaakov can be healed, that the legs of the Jewish people can be strong, that there's going to be kiyum. It will stand tall for future generations. Harokid eno tzaleh. If you're dancing, you're not limping. Rikudim the Purim. This is the Indian of Rikudim the Purim. No? So give me 2 more minutes. I want to show you one little thing from Rabbi Nachman. Something that some of us have discussed before, but most of us have not. So let's look together. Okay? Turn just to the next page. It's a lot here. We're not going to do the whole thing. Rabbi Nachman is talking about how Rikudim have the ability to remove Midas Hadin. When there's judgment in the world and there's negativity in the world, actually this piece of Torah was taught right before Purim in the year 1803. And it was at a time where there was a terrible concern that Jews were going to be conscripted, forced conscription into the army. And Rabbi Nachman says that there's one of the ways that we can defeat Midas Hadin in the world is through clapping and dancing. Right, we focused more on the Raglayim just now, but truth is, the Adayim and the Raglayim have to come together. So just look, Aleph. Okay, I'm just going to do it very, very quickly. I'm not going to read most of it inside. But Aleph. Kishiyesh chas v'shalom dinam al Yisrael. God forbid where there's midas hadin in the world. Al yidei rikudim amchas kaf el kaf. Nasam tokas hadin. We sweeten the din. And Rabbi Nachman explains that there's something called gaiva that exists in the world. Gaiva is a terrible thing. Amalek has a lot to do with gaiva. Right? The Pasuk says in Chumash, your heart will become ram, your heart will become elevated, you'll think you're a big shot, and what happens next? Yishachachtas Hashem Elokecha. You'll forget Hashem. What's the gematria of the word ram, resh mem? 240 is gematria Amalek. Exactly. So Amalek is the gaiva in a person's heart. You guys know what mispar katan is? You know how to do mispar katan? Mispar katan and gematria is where you take every number down to the ones column. So if a malik, an ayin, is 70, you make it into a 7. Bring everything down to the sort of its base number. Okay, so a malik, ayin mem, lamed kuf. So ayin 70 becomes 7. Mem 40 becomes 4. Yeah? Lamed 30 becomes 3. So 7 plus 4 plus 3 is 14. And kuf, which is 100, becomes 1. 15. 15 is gematria gaiva. So tzaddikim say that Amalek and mispar katan is gaiva. Because Haman's a big, big, big baal gaiva. Haman's a big baal gaiva. He's such a big baal gaiva, by the way, that it's so funny. In the Megillah it says that they went to Haman and they told him that Mordechai is not bowing down. Why didn't he see it? Why didn't he know that? Why did they have to tell him? Because he was so self-absorbed when he walked down the street. He just assumed everyone was bowing down. He didn't even notice. He was so obsessed with himself, with his, you know, with his head held up high, that he didn't even notice that there's one Jew standing on the side, you know, with his arms folded, refusing to bow down. They had to tell him, oh, by the way, don't you know Mordechai? What are you? Someone's not bowing down. He was so conceited. He was so self-absorbed. He didn't even know it. He's the biggest baal gaiva in the world. And gaiva, of course, is so deeply connected to what? It's connected to avodah zarah. Because Hashem malach geus levesh. Only Hashem's entitled to be a baal gaiva. Hashem is einod mavad. Hashem's everything. If you even think you exist, you're a baal gaiva. Right? And on Purim, we try to let go of our existence a little bit, right? Ad lo yad. We try to let go of our sense of self a little bit and just melt into Hashem. Okay? So look what he writes here. He explains a lot of things. But just go to the last page. Turn to the back page for a second. He writes in O Zion, this is in Torah Yud of Likutei Moran, the Torah has Yadayim and Raglayim. What are the Yadayim of Torah? What are the Raglayim of Torah? Well, right now, I can see everyone's Yadayim. Except for Nate's. I see everyone's Yadayim. I see everyone's Yadayim, but I don't see anyone's Raglayim. We're wearing socks. We're wearing shoes. Our feet are covered over. It's interesting. Yadayim are always revealed. Raglayim, right, are concealed. In other words, there's an element of Torah that's revealed, what we call Nigla. And there's an element of Torah that's hidden, which we call Nistar. Okay? Nigla represents Yadayim. Nistar represents Raglayim. Now, let's think about Purim. We have two great heroes, says Rabbi Nachman on Purim. We have Mordechai and we have Esther. Which one is revealed and which one is concealed? Which one is concealed? Mordechai is revealed. Mordechai is out in the streets screaming. Mordechai is rallying the troops. Esther is hidden away in the palace. Her very name, Esther, Seser, she's hidden. She doesn't reveal her nationality. She's very, very, very hidden. Okay? And it takes a Mordechai and an Esther who represent the Adayim and the Raglayim. But again, if I asked you who's the main hero of Purim, it's Esther, it's Megillas Esther. Right? It's more Raglayim, which is why the dancing, even more than clapping, is important on Purim. Right? Clapping and dancing, I mean, when we clap and we dance, we do it together. But it's really about the feet. Purim is really about the legs, it's about the feet. So look what Rabbi Nachman writes in that big paragraph. Just look at you see the line that says, Kimu v'kiblu? Zal Kimu v'kiblu, about halfway down?
Yeah.
Yeah? So he says like this. He says an amazing thing. He says, the Gemara says, Kimu v'kiblu, right? What happened on Purim? We learned this Gemara, Shabbos Peches, the Jews re-accepted the Torah. Yeah? Because at Har Sinai originally what? Kafaleim Har Kigigis, Hashem forced us into it. On Purim, Kimu v'kiblu Hayudim, Kimu v'asha kiblu kfar. Right? So look what he says here. He says, beautiful. He says, Kimu zebachinas raglin, raglayin. Kimu v'kiblu represents feet and hands. It's amazing. Only Rabbi Nachman could figure this out. Why is Kimu feet and kiblu his hands? Because what do feet do for you? He says, Kimu, right, lakum, to stand. Right? Kimu is the aspect of feet. The kiblu zebachinas yadayin. Kiblu represents, what do you makabel, how am I makabel? I don't receive things with my feet, I receive something with my hands. So kimu v'kiblu means what? Means hands and feet. Means Mordechai and Esther. And again, the victory over Haman, part of the tikkun and the reacceptance of Torah that we're trying to tap into, is what? Is dafka, by making sure that our hands, and even more specifically our Esther, our feet, are very strong. To make sure that our feet are very strong. Just look at the last paragraph. Vihine klal hadvarim elu. So in summary, and it's a very long Torah, but again, I wanted you to at least get a taste of this. This idea of Torah having yadayim and raglayim, and Mordechai and Esther representing yadayim and raglayim, and kimu v'kiblu representing yadayim and raglayim, and defeating Haman is destroying Avodah Zarah. Where does Torah begin? What's the first thing Hashem ever said to us? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Don't believe in any other gods. Los Ishtachav El Acher, right? Don't bow down to the El Acher like we learned about. El Acher, we says Gematria Malik. We learned all about this. Okay, so look at the last paragraph. Vine klal advarim elu. Shal yedeh hatzadik. When we're connected to tzadikim, right? We don't just call him Mordechai. We call him Mordechai Tzadik. Mordechai is called a tzadik. Yeah? Mordechai is called Mordechai Tzadik. Vine klal advarim elu. Shal yedeh hatzadik. When we're connected to tzadikim. And again, that's also part of the Rebbeim and Talmidim. A chance tonight to dance with Rashi Yeshiva. You don't get to learn Torah. You're stuck learning Torah with me all the time. Tonight you can come. You can come dance with the Shechter. You can dance with the Willig. I don't know who's going to show up. Hopefully a lot of the big rabbis are going to show up. It's a big opportunity. So when you attach yourself to big tzaddikim, right, to big Bali Mesora, who keep the Doros connected, Shehu Bechinas HaRuach, right, when we attach ourselves to the Ruach, the spirit of Klal Yisrael is in our Rebbeim. Is aver el acher, that defeats the el acher, that defeats the false god that is a malik. El acher is gematria malik. It removes the kfira. You know that. Who's the biggest tzaddik you ever met? Who's like, well, what the name of a big rebbe that you once went to? They took you to. Who? Rebbe Yashu. You met Rebbe Yashu? Wow. What was that like?
Okay, a long time ago.
You can still feel it probably in your bones, right? I told you this. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago on a Friday night, who had Yechidus by the Lubavitch Rebbe 8 times. Did I tell you guys this?
Wow.
He said 8 times he had Yechidus by the Lubavitch Rebbe. He said, I don't want to say Chas V'Shalom. He said, he meant, and this person was rattling off names. He went to a lot of big Gedolim. He said, I went to a lot of big Gedolim, and everyone is unbelievable. He said, the Lubavitch Rebbe, he said, it was like no one else. He said, you felt it in the room, like, it was just the energy that he was radiating. He said, you felt it. He said, it's very hard for me to describe what that means, but you felt it. You were in his presence, and he looked you in the eyes, and you just felt it. You felt it. You felt your whole world shaking. He said, it was unbelievable. So when you're attached to tzaddikim, it's a ruach, it's a spirit. And it, and what does it do? You don't have to even learn it, right? You didn't learn anything from Rav Yashiv. You probably didn't learn anything. Meaning in terms of, like, he didn't give you a Dvar Torah, per se. Right? Just seeing a tzaddik, you catch a glimpse of a tzaddik, you go to a rebbe's tish, a real rebbe, and you just watch him, right? And you feel your emunah getting stronger. What does it say about Mordechai? What did he do for Esther? He was omein es hadasa. Literally means he raised her, but it means he increased her emunah. When you're connected to tzaddikim, it makes your emunah strong. You can't fall for the kfira of Haman and Amalek. Right? The kfirus, the heresy. And when your spirit is uplifted, chaver, what happens? Of course what happens. Naturally, you break out into song and dance, you clap hands, your feet start moving. When you're attached to the tzaddik, it pumps that spirit inside of you and the limbs become animated, you know? Your emuna becomes increased. Yeah? That's why, what does it say about Yosef at tzaddik? Rabbi Nachman says an awesome thing. Look at the fourth line, the bottom paragraph. What does it say about Yosef HaTzadik? Paro says to him, Uvil adecha lo yarim ish es yado v'esraglo. You realize how deep that pasuk is? Now we understand it. What's the pasuk shot? No one's going to make a move in my kingdom without you. Yosef, you're Mishnah Lamelech. You're second in command. You're in charge of making sure the world survives this famine. But you know what else it means? Ubil adecha, without you, without connection to Yosef, in other words, the tzaddik, without a tzaddik in your life, lo yarim ish es yado v'esraglo, you don't know how to move your hands and feet. You don't know how to dance. You don't know how to be. You don't know how to have real simcha as a Jew unless you're connected to tzaddikim. You don't know how to be alive, right? A person who's dancing is moving. There's one thing we know about that person: he's alive, right? He's alive. He's moving. It says here in the English Likutei Moran in the footnote, it says from Rabbi Moshe Kramer, it says that yadayim v'raglayim is gematria simcha. 353. Yadayim v'raglayim. You need your hands. You need your feet. You need to be connected to tzaddikim, and that's how you defeat Amalek. And we're able to prove. Look, ha. See, you thought we only had the hands, that Ephraim only got the right hand. But the feet is still, Yaakov's still limping. So we prove to Amalek on Purim Chevra. You have to dance, and when it hurts, that's dafka the moment to prove that, look, even though it looks like I'm limping, but I'm dancing. I'm still dancing. Okay, so we should be Zocha this Purim to clap, to dance, to be connected to Tzaddikim. To have the simcha of Yadayim v'raglayim, the gematria simcha, to defeat the El Acher that is a Malek, to remove that klipa and that kfira that sometimes is found in our hearts. And then Amir Tzashem, we'll be able to dance all together, straight back to Yerushalayim. I don't know how you're supposed to dance through an ocean, but we'll figure it out. Dance our way right back to Yerushalayim. The base of Mikdash, Meher B'min Amen. Thanks for coming out. I wish to have a meaningful fast. Excited, we're gonna do it. We're gonna be Mekayim it tonight. It's Hashem.